Well, we can take as our text this evening the words from Hebrews 4, verse 9. Hebrews 4, verse 9. It tells us, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." It's interesting that that word for rest, you noticed as we read it, multiple times that the English word rest was used in that chapter, but in verse 9 the Greek word is different to all the other words. All the other times the writer uses a more general word, katapausis, for rest, but here it uses the word sabbatismos, which sounds very like our word Sabbath. And so there remains, this text is saying, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And that's the theme that we want to take up this evening together with Lord's Day 38. You can turn there on page number 74 at the back of your Psalter. Page 74, Lord's Day 38. And this is the fourth commandment. Question 103 asks, "What doth God require in the fourth commandment?" Answer: first, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath." I'm sure you've heard marriage described as one of the flowers that we still have from the Garden of Eden. You remember, boys and girls, that it was in the Garden of Eden before Adam fell that there was when God gave marriage. It was not good for man to be alone, and so God gave marriage in the Garden of Eden. And yes, even though sin has now come, yet we still have this flower in our fallen world. It is still a flower from the Garden of Eden. But what we have to remember is that that is not the only flower that comes to us from the Garden of Eden. There is also the flower of work. It's not good for man to be alone, so God gives marriage. It's not good for man to be idle, so God gives work. And yes, though with sin we now work in the sweat of our brow and with great difficulty at times, yet it is still a gift from God. It is still a flower from Eden. So it's not good for man to be alone, it's not good for man to be idle, but it's also not good for man to work without stopping. And so in the Garden of Eden, there is this other flower, if we can call it that, which is the Sabbath day. And yes, the Sabbath day continues mercifully and graciously into our post-fall world. The Sabbath is a flower that comes to us from out of Eden. It very much is a gift. Whatever we or man has thought of the Sabbath, the way God views the Sabbath is as a gift. It is a great, wonderful gift that God has given. If you would go to the end of Isaiah 58, you would find a description there where the Lord is saying to us that if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, that's the idea of stop trampling on it, stop ruining it, stop putting your foot all over it, turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath what it's meant to be, a delight. And the holy of the Lord, what it's meant to be, honorable. And you honor him, not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasure nor speaking your own words. Then, he says, thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. Does that not sound like a flower from Eden? Delighting yourself in the Lord. And he goes on to speak about how you'll ride on the high places of the earth. You'll be fed with the finest food. So it's a gift from God. And as we look at this commandment, this fourth commandment, we simply want to ask three questions. One, what is commanded? Two, why is it commanded? And three, how is it to be kept? What is commanded? Why is it commanded? And how it is to be kept? Now, the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 38 really answers the first of these questions, the what. The Heidelberg Catechism summarizes here much of Scripture's teaching and helps, as it were, describe this flower that has come from Eden and is still with us today. What is this flower like? Well, it tells us, and the whole Word of God tells us, that the Sabbath is a day that is to be given as much as possible to worshiping God. The Sabbath is a day that is to be given as much as possible to worshiping God. That's how the Catechism begins. First, that this is how we keep the day. First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. It's recognizing, bound up with the Sabbath, the centrality of the ministry of the gospel. You need a ministry of the gospel to keep the Sabbath. You need the Word of God, as it goes on to say, to keep the Sabbath. And so there, then it says, and the schools, the what we would say, the seminaries, really everything that prepares for the ministry of the gospel, which would include your prayer, which would include your encouragement, which would include your support financially, prayerfully, and in every way for seminaries, for those who are preparing for the ministry of the gospel. And even your words of encouragement to our students or to our professors is an encouragement and a way of maintaining the schools so that there will be a ministry of the gospel, so that there will be a Sabbath keeping. And you see the focus on worship that it continues there, that I, especially on the Sabbath, and you notice it says, it doesn't say only on the Sabbath, but especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God. This recognizes that while we worship God on every day of the week, yet the Sabbath day is a special day of worship. The character, the shape of this day is a worship-shaped day. The main thing, if you will, about this day is worship. So it goes on to speak about hearing the word, using the sacraments, and publicly calling upon the name of the Lord. Worship. This is what characterizes the day. And it speaks about contributing to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. That on this day we are to do works of necessity and mercy, And we look for opportunities to do good to one another on this day, to encourage one another as we worship together and sing together and fellowship together and speak to one another and look out for one another. There's this helping of one another. But there's also, as it were, a going out of our bounds and looking to others, to the poor. And you think of things like the jail ministry and other ministries. These are Sabbath activities in a special way. And this is all bound up then in what it means to remember the Sabbath day. No doubt the idea of remembering is also there because we're so likely to forget the day. And many people have forgotten the day. Even in the professing Christian church, people have forgotten the Sabbath day. But the idea of forgetting isn't just not bringing it to mind. It would be like children if I said to you, or maybe your parents would say to you, remember your homework. They don't mean just think about it in your mind. They mean set aside time and do it properly. Or if you would say, remember your wife's birthday. You don't just mean make a mental note that it is your wife's birthday. You mean act accordingly. Think about it. Prepare for it. Buy flowers or whatever else you do. Remember then, the Sabbath day means think about it, prepare for it, focus on it, make it the central point and indeed the central day of the week. And it says remember it to keep it holy. It's not enough that it's a different day. It should be a different day. But it's not enough just to be different. It is a special day, but it's not enough that it's just special. It's to be holy. Remember it to keep it holy. And as you know, if something's holy, it has the idea of being set apart to God. It doesn't mean that the rest is bad. It's not saying that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the other days are bad days. No, it's saying that this day is set apart to God in a special way. And so on this Sabbath day, this holy day, we are focused in a special way on God and his worship. We are concentrating on who God is, what God has done in Jesus Christ, our relationship to him, our hope for heaven, our prospects for heaven. We are focusing on these things. And so a holy day is a God-centered, a God-filled, and a worship-filled day. And for the Christian, a holy day is therefore a very happy day. And it's good again to remember that Adam needed this before he fell. The Sabbath doesn't begin at Mount Sinai. Otherwise, the Lord would not have said, remember it. It didn't begin at Mount Sinai. It began at creation. Adam needed a Sabbath day. Sinless Adam going about his work, digging the garden, planting things, caring for animals, having dominion over the earth. Adam in innocence needed one day in seven in a special way to concentrate his mind upon the things of God. God knew that Adam and Eve in innocence could not just keep working day after day, building, planting, and having dominion over the earth. They needed a day where they could put that aside and where they could concentrate in a special way upon God. And if Adam needed that in innocence, how much more do we? The Heidelberg Catechism goes on by showing the effect of Sabbath keeping. Secondly, it says that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me. You see, it's not so easy to spend a day beholding as in a glass the glory of God, hearing of Christ and who he is and what he has done, and seeing him by faith, beholding something of his glory and his beauty and his dying love and his powerful resurrection and his sitting at the right hand of God and his coming again in glory, and singing these praises, lifting up our voices to God on high and calling upon his name in prayer, and knowing something of the blessing of what it is to draw near to God and to say, in sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. I tell you, it is not so easy to do that and just to jump into sin again on Monday morning. You see, the holiness of the day, as it were, the holiness of the flower that comes from Eden wafts on into your Monday and your Tuesday. I cease from my evil works. How can I go on in sin when I've tasted that the Lord is gracious? When I've sung, O taste and see that God is good. I tell you that the appetite for sin goes. The love for sin takes a blow, and I cease from my evil works. And I say, this God, this Lord, this Jesus, he is infinitely worthy of my life and my all, and I yield myself to him. What does he want? What does he say? I yield myself to him, and I depend upon the Holy Spirit to go forward with good works. You see, it influences your other days. People say, well, we don't keep Sabbath anymore. All the days are holy. My dear friend, if every day is holy, no day is holy. Holy from what? Holiness is being set apart. Set apart from what if they're all holy? God is wiser than man. Hugh Cartwright said, God knows that if men do not set apart one day as he is required for his worship, there will be very little holiness in the other days. Or as I learned, and maybe many of you learned in your youth, a Sabbath well spent brings a week of content and joy and health for the toils of the morrow. But a Sabbath profaned is not a Sabbath that is spent in outward acts of sin. A Sabbath profaned is treating the Sabbath in the same way as you treat Monday or Tuesday. Treating it as though it's not holy, a Sabbath profaned. Whatever may be gained is a certain forerunner of sorrow. The Sabbath sets the tone for the other days. And then it says that we begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. And that's maybe one of the most wonderful things. It brings us, as it were, right into the suburbs of heaven, and we taste something in the song and in the praise and in the word heard and preached and understood and blessed. We begin. We get a taste of the heavenly Sabbath, the eternal Sabbath that so many of those that we have loved are now enjoying. It's the same food. They get it in a fuller and a better way, but it's the same food. It's the same Christ. Well, these things need to be stressed because many in our day, even in reformed circles, so-called, are trying to say that the Sabbath is no longer relevant. They'll say, Don Carson, an otherwise good commentator, argues this position. They say things like, well, the Sabbath is Jewish, it's Old Testament, you don't need to keep this anymore, Christ fulfilled the Sabbath, he's our rest now, we don't need this day of rest. There are people who want to cut this flower at its root. But the Bible says, Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains therefore a Sabbatismus for the people of God. And commentators are divided. Does that mean the eternal Sabbath that's still to come, or is it the weekly Sabbath? But either which way, there is most certainly a Sabbath rest to come. And if you have a Sabbath rest at creation before the fall. And if you have Sabbath that continues till the time of the wilderness when they gather manna on 6 days, but not the seventh, and if you have it in the law, and if you have it in the prophets down to Isaiah, and if you have Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, and if you have it in heaven, why would you exclude it in this period now? No, there remains a Sabbath keeping now, certainly, for the people of God. But let's move now here to consider why we are commanded to keep the Sabbath day holy. And the first thing, I think, which should be obvious is that God has commanded it. If you asked Adam in the garden, "Adam, why can't you eat of that one tree?" What reason could he have given? The fruit was good. The reason he had was God said so. And in many ways, we know why it's wrong to kill. We know why it's wrong to steal. We know why it's wrong to lie. We know it's not good to covet. We know it's good not to commit adultery. We know these things are wrong. But why keep the Sabbath day? And really, maybe that's also why it says remember it. Because there's not so much in us that as it were, it makes sense to us from natural reason. But God has commanded it. And this God is saying, this is part of what it means to love me, to remember the Sabbath day. It shows a watching world, a world that is so busy, a world that can't stop and can't rest, a world that says it doesn't have time to do this and to do that. It shows a watching world when you give one, the first one out of seven to God. What are you saying? You are saying, God, he is Lord of my time. He is Lord of my all. And he has commanded one day in seven. And I love him. And he is Lord of my time. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and they're not grievous. So God has commanded it. But there's another reason, and it's this, that God knows how busy we become because we get swept up in the busyness of the age, one of the sins of our age, being over busy, being a workaholic. That's a sin, to be a workaholic. We're not meant to be workaholics. We're meant to work hard, but not be workaholics. We need rest physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And the Lord of time who created you and me, he has put a fence around this day and he says, on this day, you concentrate your mind on these things. You put away all the work, the legitimate work, the distractions, the entertainment of other days, and you devote this day to the worship of God. And who could argue against that? Who could say, well, that's unfair? Who could say, well, that's a burden? Don't we often wish that we had more time to pray, more time to read our Bible, more time to fellowship? And here is God giving us one day in seven to do this in a special way. And in the other 6 days, don't you find that you get, as Thomas Watson, the Puritan, says, you get the dust of the world coming in and clogging the wheels of your affection. The wheels are going fast, and then the dust of the world comes in, and they slow down. They clog the wheels of your affection so that they can scarce move towards God. And then he says, the Sabbath comes, and it oils the wheels of our affections so that they can move more swiftly again. The heart, he says, which all the week was frozen on the Sabbath, melts with the word. No wonder the Puritans called this the queen of days, the market day of the soul. So God has commanded it. He knows we become busy. But if we look now at the commandment itself in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, firstly in Exodus, here is another reason: the Sabbath rest is patterned after God's example. It is patterned after God's example. Remember the Sabbath day, Exodus 28 says, and then it gives this reason. Here is why. God doesn't need to give us a reason, but he did. For, he says, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and he rested on the seventh day, and he therefore blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. So the Sabbath day points us all the way back to creation. And you think of God's works in creation, how he made the light and the darkness, the moon, the sun to rule by day, the moon to rule by night, the dry land, the sea, the animals, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. And so on the Sabbath we should be singing, O Lord, how excellent in all the earth is thy name. God worked for 6 days. And then he rested, not because he was tired, not because he was fatigued, but he was setting a pattern. He was giving us an example to follow. He worked, he created. That was his 6 day work. It was work of creation. And then he stopped that work. He rested from that work on the seventh day. And he looked at all that he did and he said, it's very good. And he delighted in it. He delighted in his own work. And now you and me with you. This is the work rest pattern we have set before us. We join with God on the Sabbath day in looking at his work and saying, it is very good. This is why we have a 7 day week, is it not? Have you ever thought why we have a 7 day week? It makes sense, doesn't it, why we have a 24-hour day? You look at the Earth's rotation around its axis, and it makes sense, 24 hours in a day. It makes sense, to a degree at least, why we have the months of the year that we do. They largely match up with the lunar calendar, the calendar of the moon. It makes sense why we have the year that we do when you think of the Earth's revolution around the sun. But why a 7 day week? In the French Revolution years ago, Napoleon tried to change this. Initially, he tried to take away the weekly Sabbath altogether. That was an absolute disaster for him. And then he tried to create a 10 day week with a Sabbath at the end. That was a disaster. And he moved back to the 7 day week. God is wiser than man. So here's another reason: the Sabbath rest is patterned after God's example. But here now is maybe the reason why we are to keep the Sabbath and remember it. And it's this: the Sabbath rest is connected to redemption. The Sabbath rest is connected to redemption. Not with Adam before sin, but since the fall. What you see so beautifully, if you had time to see it and to trace it, is how the Sabbath rest God has bound together with redemption. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, right before they go into the land of promise, Moses speaks to the people, he renews the covenant, and he gives them the commandments, but he says something different than what he says than what is said in Exodus. In Exodus, you keep the Sabbath because God created in 6 days. But in Deuteronomy, before you go into the land, he says this: remember that thou wast a servant or a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Redemption from Egypt, therefore keep the Sabbath day. And you look through the Old Testament and you see this repeated. You were slaves in Egypt, so keep the Sabbath day. Remember it. You remember Ruth and Boaz, the Redeemer. And what is the thing Naomi wants for Ruth? She wants rest for Ruth. And what is rest? What is Sabbath for Ruth? It is to be in this land and it is to be redeemed by Boaz. Boaz, the Redeemer, gives Ruth rest. Or you think of Leviticus 25. Remember, boys and girls, that in Leviticus you have 6 years where the land is to be farmed, and then you have a Sabbath, not day, but year, on the seventh year. And then the Lord says you're to do that seven times. So you have seven cycles of 7 years, so you get to the 49th year, and that is a Sabbath year. But then the Sabbath year continues into the 50th year. And that 50th year is called the year of Jubilee. And on that year, they blow a trumpet throughout all the land so that everybody can hear it. And that on that year, if you are in prison, you can go free. If you have lost land, it is restored to you. It is a year of Jubilee, a year of redemption. Oh, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. And all of this is pointing forward to the fullness of time when the Lord of the Sabbath himself would come to redeem the people, his own people. Christ himself would keep the Sabbath day. It was his custom, Luke says, to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day to worship. This was his custom, it tells us. But he has a work. He is going to follow the pattern that God, that he himself set, his own pattern that he set in creation. 6 days of work, and then a rest that comes as a result of this work. And he has a work that the Father has given him to do. And that is why he is here. He is here to work the work of God while it is day. He is here to work a work that will earn a rest, not just for himself, but for the people of God. And he will not rest like Boaz until he finishes this work. And here then is the God who created all things out of nothing in flesh. Here is the God who in 6 literal days created everything out of nothing by the simple word of his power. And here is the same God who created everything in the person of his Son. And now, in 6 hours, he works a work that is so much more glorious than the work of creation, that is the work of redemption. And the God who created everything in 6 days hangs on the cross in the person of the Son for 6 hours. And then he goes into the grave and he rests on the seventh day. Do you see now on the next day, the eighth day as it were, the first day of the new week, when Christ rises from the grave, that now God is saying, behold, it is very good. People ask, why is the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week? Can't we celebrate the old Sabbath on the seventh day, the Saturday? Benjamin Warfield, I think, says it very well. Christ took the Old Testament Sabbath into the grave and brought the Lord's Day out of the grave. with him on the resurrection morning. The reason for the change of the day is because God has done something more glorious in his Son, Jesus Christ, in redemption than anything he did in creation. There is great, great glory in creation. Isn't there, children? Do the heavens not proclaim the glory of God? Do the skies not show forth his glory? Does the day that follows day not utter speech to us, preaches a sermon to us? Night that follows night, the order, the design, the wonder of it all, it shows knowledge. It preaches the glory of God. The sun that goes from one end of the earth to the next like a strong man to run its race preaches awesome glory, the glory of God. Yes, there is glory in creation, but my dear friend, in comparison to the redemption purchased by Christ, the glory of the heavens fade. The sun becomes a blackness. Doesn't Isaiah say, or the Lord through Isaiah say, that the nations, the great and the powerful and the strong and the majestic nations, they're but a drop of a bucket. That he takes up the isles as a very little thing and as the small dust of the balance. Relatively, it is nothing. Nothing compared with the glory of Christ in redemption. The work of creation is nothing in comparison to the work of Calvary's cross. Oh, but you say, but surely on Calvary's cross, the sun refused to shine. The earth rent, and there was an earthquake, and there was pain, and there was excruciating pain of crucifixion. But yet there is more of the glory of God shining there than there ever was in creation. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined into your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The salvation of one sinner. Children, listen to me now. Your salvation would give more glory to God than all 6 days of creation. Than God saying, let there be light, and by the sheer power of his word there is light. Were you to fall on your knees and come to the Savior, the blessed Savior, in the quietness of your own thoughts and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Heaven would see more glory in your salvation than ever it saw in creation. So the Sabbath changes from the first day of the week because God wants us to remember above everything else that Christ has finished the work that he gave him to do. And God is saying, of this work, behold, look at it. Behold, it is very good. In the Old Testament, we were always waiting for the Sabbath to come. It was always at the end. It was at the end of the week the Sabbath came. It was at the end of the cycle of 7 years that the land rested. It was at the end of the 49th year when the 50th began that the Jubilee came. It was at the end. It was all saying there is a Sabbath coming. There is a rest coming. There is a work still to be done. And this rest is still to come. But now you see when Christ dies and Christ rises again victorious over death on the first day of the week, that now we begin with rest. What is being communicated here is not there is work to be done before Sabbath comes. What is being communicated now is this: there is rest achieved, redemption earned. You begin here with rest. And from out of that rest, you can go into your other 6 days. So God has commanded us. We follow his pattern in creation, and we remember the redemption purchased by Christ. But now, thirdly here, how are we to keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, we don't want to give simply a list of rules of do's and don'ts. Great damage has been done to the Sabbath by people who, from the time of the Pharisees and into our own hearts too, who have simply seen this day as a list of do's and don'ts. Now, there are do's and there are don'ts. But we try as best we can to give principles. And we lay a large weight of responsibility upon the fathers and upon the heads of the homes. The commandment speaks in that way. Your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, the things that belong to you, everything that's under your authority. So there's a responsibility upon you. Parents, you have a duty that your children will be brought up to recognize the Christian Sabbath as a holy and as a happy day. Employers, when it speaks of your servants, your manservant, your maidservant, your employees, don't make them work. Don't ask them to work unnecessary work, works that are not necessary or acts of mercy on the Sabbath. Use your influence, in other words, to promote the Sabbath. I would commend to you the reading of the larger catechism on this commandment. We don't have time, obviously, to read through it, but I will read this answer to you because I think it summarizes the how very well. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath, or Lord's Day, is to be sanctified by a holy resting all the day, not only from such works as are at all times sinful, but even from such worldly employment and recreation as are on other days lawful, and making it our delight to spend the whole time, except so much as is to be taken up in works of necessity and mercy, in the public and private exercises of God's worship. And to that end, we are to prepare our hearts with such foresight, diligence, and moderation to dispose and seasonably dispatch our worldly business that we may be more free and fit for the duties of that day. It says, prioritize the day. Get things done ahead of time so that the day, so as best you can, the day can be undistracted by things you don't need to do. So on other days, we find what time we can for worship and spiritual things, but on the Sabbath, we give that day to worship and find time for necessity and mercy when required. But now I want to close here by, as we look at this how we are to keep the day, by saying that we need to seek grace to enter into the spirit of the day. You know, maybe the most perverse thing in all of organized religion was when Jesus was hanging on the cross and the Jews wanted to take him down. Why? Because the Sabbath was drawing near. They wanted to take the Lord of the Sabbath that they were crucifying off the cross, because the Sabbath day was coming. What a perversion. And we need grace to seek to enter into not the rules, but the spirit of the day. And if I take you back to Hebrews 4, verse 3, there's this verse that speaks about how we do that, and it's this: we which have believed do enter into rest. We which have believed do enter into Sabbath. To enjoy Sabbath rest, we must believe in Christ. We must have faith in the Lord of the Sabbath. We must delight in, and that is the way to delight in God and to delight in Christ and his word. And so we need to be putting away our works and to be resting, Sabbathing in Christ alone. You know, every Lord's Day, every Christian Sabbath, there is a sound that you hear. The gospel trumpet sounds. The Lord has risen indeed. He has finished the work. Everything is done. You remember the Liberty Bell in Pennsylvania, that icon of American independence, that Liberty Bell in Pennsylvania has the words of Leviticus 25:10 inscribed upon it. Leviticus 25, the chapter that speaks about the Jubilee, the seven sevens of Sabbaths and the Jubilee year. These words from our King James Version inscribed there: proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. But my dear friend, in the gospel, we have a liberty bell, do we not? We have a trumpet that speaks of a far greater emancipation. We are not called to earn it. We are called to come to Christ, and the great gospel liberty bell is this: come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Sabbath. I will give you rest. And we are called on that day to join with God in looking, beholding, taking the work of Jesus Christ, and to say with the Father and all the church, behold, it is very good. Is the Sabbath a delight to us? Dear friend, if you are here and the day is a wearisomeness to you, you find it weary and boring and long and you can't wait for it to be done, the reason is you have no spiritual life. You cannot expect to go into the eternal Sabbath when the weekly Sabbath here is boring. You need to hear the words at the beginning of Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you would come short of it. But to those who believe, they enter into rest. And then you love the Lord's Day. And then you need the Lord's Day because we need the Lord of the day. And we love it because we love the Lord and we love what he loves and we love who he loves. And our greatest desire is to rest only in Christ and to say of him, behold, he is very good. And then, as the Catechism says, I go forward into the week to work. Not to earn rest, but to work, yes, by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Sabbath well spent puts wind in your sails that will blow you faster to Emmanuel's land. So the first day of the week is the Christian Sabbath. We are to remember it, to keep it holy because of God's pattern in creation and his work in redemption. And we're to do so by faith in Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. And you come now and you smell this flower from Eden. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Amen. Let us pray.